Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
You're never going to hear people on our side calling for violence, calling for riots in the street. We don't want that. We want a peaceful resolution. We want America to thrive, and we want every single person to have the right to thrive, to have the right to live, no matter what they believe, no matter what God they worship, no matter who they are inside. Every single one of them is a human being. And once again, good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Red Pill News. I hope you guys are having a lovely day. We've got a series of interesting stories we're going to be discussing today. First of all, we're going to talk about a new filing from the Trump team, because President Trump is calling BS on the DOJ and the FBI's assertion on the status of those documents taken from Mar-a-Lago not too long ago. And then we're going to be looking at some possible corruption in the FBI that's been revealed by yet another whistleblower. Where you are not going to believe what they're diverting resources from. And then finally, it's been less than a month since Joe Biden's divisive MAGA extremist speech delivered in Pennsylvania in front of Independence Hall with that blood red background. And the logical conclusion that has come from this is something that you're going to be horrified by, but probably not too surprised to hear. Tragedy in North Dakota. I want everyone to please do me a favor, sit back, relax, and grab your popcorn, because we're going to be right back after this. Ever since the unprecedented raid on Mar-a-Lago by the FBI, overseen by the DOJ and, of course, the Biden regime in the White House, there has been the overarching question of what exactly was included in those documents that the FBI so dearly looked to recover. Now, of course, at the beginning, there was some rumors about whether or not it was related to nuclear secrets. I think that's kind of turned into a bit of a debunk at this point. But of course, most of us just assumed that it had to do with Russiagate and Spygate, because long ago, President Trump had said that he was declassifying everything related to those two specific scandals because he wanted to expose the corruption going on at the FBI. Well, if the FBI was looking for those documents and wanted to keep it out of the eyes of the public, that certainly would fit in with the covering their ass narrative that a lot of us subscribe to. However, without actually getting eyes on those documents, we're never going to know. But the rulings that have been handed down by Judge Eileen Cannon, who is overseeing the case, and it sounds like based upon the series of arguments that have been taking place between Trump and his legal team and the DOJ and the FBI and their legal teams, they really want to get a look at those documents as well. They claim that there is some type of national security threat. But Eileen Cannon understands that there was probably some attorney-client privilege material that was taken there, and it looks like she also believes that there also may not be some truth to what the DOJ and the FBI are saying. So Raymond Deary is the former federal judge, former FISA court judge that was appointed by Eileen Cannon to act as that special master and to sift through all of those documents to determine, is there attorney-client privilege documents? Is there actually classified documents that President Trump was supposed to have? So by appointing that special master, she has essentially blocked the government from reviewing and using any of those seized documents for any investigative purposes. But not for national security purposes. Now, the FBI and the DOJ argue they need access to everything. They have to be able to continue their investigation now. They have to be able to assess where there was a national security threat right now. But Eileen Cannon had said this when appointing the special master. The court does not find it appropriate to accept the government's conclusions on these important and disputed issues without further review by a neutral third party in an expedited and orderly fashion. Now, that again would be Raymond Deary. So Raymond Deary is going to take a look and he's going to see what's going on. But of course, the DOJ continues to attempt to get full access to the documents. They had sought to block parts of the judge's ruling on those documents seized from Mar-a-Lago. Last Friday, they had sought to put a stay on Eileen Cannon's ruling to block essentially some of the aspects of her ruling, which would allow them to get access to those roughly 100 pages of documents they claim are marked classified. Now, what they're asking is for the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals to stay the portions of the order causing the most serious and immediate harm to the government and the public by restricting the government's review and the use of records bearing classification markings and requiring the government to disclose those records for a special master review process. Now, the special master, being a disinterested third party and a former FISA judge at that, should have the ability to tell the government whether or not there's anything that they're fearing is in there. And it would also allow President Trump and his legal team to know that their rights had not been violated. So what the DOJ is asking is full access to the information and for the American people and the judge to simply just trust them. Well, President Trump and his legal team certainly don't trust the DOJ. I don't certainly trust the FBI and the DOJ. And I think the vast majority of America don't trust them either, because earlier today he filed another motion asking the appeals court to reject the DOJ's request to keep reviewing those classified Mar-a-Lago documents. And he has even stated that the documents have not even proven to be classified in the first place. He, in this new filing, is asking for the FBI to give some sort of proof that the documents they believe they took were, in fact, classified. Because, again, this goes back to the argument that President Trump had fully declassified anything that he took with him to Mar-a-Lago, either explicitly while in office or implicitly when he left office taking those classified documents, because the president has the power to go ahead and do that. President Trump, in his filing, said, "The district court denied the government's stay request, noting it was not inclined to hastily adopt the government's contention that the approximately 100 purportedly classified documents were, in fact, classified, and that President Trump could not possibly have a possessory interest in any of them." Now, Raymond Deary was scheduled to hold a preliminary conference at a Brooklyn courthouse earlier today. We haven't gotten any news on whether there was a decision that was made, but I'm hoping that within the next 24 hours, we are going to hear something, and that over the weekend, Raymond Deary had the opportunity to go ahead and look at some of these documents. The sooner we get the answers, the sooner the DOJ is also going to be getting the answers, and the American people and the FBI and the DOJ, they have goals that are misaligned. The FBI and the DOJ want to protect their own. They want to protect the deep state. We, the American people, want to protect our rights. And of course, President Trump wants to protect his rights as an American citizen as well. As it stands right now, President Trump's rights have been violated, and the special master is the best and quickest way we can get to the truth and determine whether or not the government's lying. Well, on the off chance this is your first time tuning into my show, you might be asking yourself, Zach, why would we assume that the government is lying? Well, that could have a lot to do with the FBI's propensity towards misconduct, criminal behavior, their likelihood of infringing upon your rights, and the likelihood of them trying to frame average everyday American citizens, good patriots, who align themselves with the America First and MAGA movement. I mean, look at what they did to President Trump over the course of his time in office and what they've continued to do since he left.
A human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
left office back in January of 2021. Well, there's also been a slew of whistleblowers from the FBI that have come forward to shine a light and blow the whistle on the misconduct and malfeasance taking place inside the agency. And the latest FBI whistleblower to come forward was revealed earlier by Jim Jordan. It would appear that the FBI is pulling agents off of child sex abuse and trafficking cases in order to investigate and further prosecute people who were present in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. You heard me right. The FBI is pulling agents off of child trafficking cases because the FBI says they are no longer a priority. They are instead assigning them to political persecution investigations. Now, Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio, who just happens to be the ranking member on the House Judiciary Committee, sent a letter to the FBI's Christopher Wray early yesterday. Jordan demanded from Wray to know why the Bureau is allegedly shifting resources away from this very, very important criminal conduct to instead go after Americans who simply have a different political leaning than the Democrats. Jim Jordan said this in his letter. The whistleblower disclosed that the FBI is sacrificing its other important federal law enforcement duties to pursue January 6th investigations. The whistleblower recalled, for example, being told child sexual abuse material investigations were no longer an FBI priority and should be referred to local law enforcement agencies. Can you believe it? This is how badly the federal government, the Biden regime, and the FBI want to prosecute people for engaging in wrongthink, for having a different political leaning, for being an American patriot. They want to take you down simply because your phone records show that you were in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. Never mind the fact that you never walked through the Capitol. Never mind the fact that you never broke any laws. By virtue of the fact that you were close to anybody who actually did break laws, you're going to find yourself on the wrong end of a subpoena and a warrant. Jim Jordan continues, such a posture is not only a dereliction of the FBI's mission to investigate violations of federal laws, but is a grave disservice to the victims of child sexual abuse and other crimes that do not advance the FBI leadership's political agenda. Now, the letter goes on to state that there are several other whistleblowers who described a rotted culture within the FBI's senior leadership in Washington. That is a direct quote, a rotted culture. I couldn't have said it better myself. They also said the FBI is not immune to oversight or accountability. I would argue that up until this point, the FBI has been immune from oversight or accountability. Certainly nobody has really done anything to get to the heart of any of these claims of malfeasance or criminal activity taking place within the FBI. I think if we really take an honest look at the FBI, we're going to find that the agency as a whole needs to be gutted and completely reworked from the ground up. They have become politicized. They are now and have been doing the bidding of an illegitimate and illegal administration. An administration that has no business being anywhere near Washington, D.C., other than by virtue of the fact that they're criminals and we seem to be run by criminals here in America. The FBI has been pressuring agents to reclassify their cases as domestic violent extremism, even if the cases don't meet the criteria to accept that classification. This is now what the government seems to be pushing, that patriotic American citizens are the most dangerous thing to our republic, and Joe Biden's speech a couple of weeks ago really kicked this off in full. I want to talk about that next. Now, I'm sure it's not going to require too much jogging of your memory to go back to the beginning of the month when Joe Biden delivered that divisive and violent speech filled with hateful rhetoric where he classified MAGA Republicans as a threat to democracy. This was the next step in the cranking up of that rhetoric against Republicans, against people who support Donald Trump. It's been happening for quite some time. It's been happening within the FBI, the DOJ, the White House itself, and certainly inside the mainstream media for quite some time. Now, before Joe Biden said that we were a threat to democracy, he said that we were semi-fascists. Obviously, nothing could be further from the truth. But what they need to do is to dehumanize us in the eyes of Democrats, the Democrats who are still caught up in the spell of what the Democratic leadership is pushing. Now, he said that this was a battle between equality and democracy, and that we, as semi-fascists, are somehow infringing upon the rights and the Constitution for the rest of the country, the people who agree with the Democrats. Well, somebody needs to tell Joe Biden that the vast majority of American citizens don't agree with him. In fact, after he delivered that speech, a number of opinion polls found that Joe Biden's speech did not go over well. It was like a lead weight in a deep, deep lake. He said these two documents and the ideas they embody, equality and democracy, are the rock upon which this nation is built. He was talking about the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. Somebody also needs to tell Joe Biden that the people he is speaking to have no care or love for the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution, and the FBI certainly is not interested in enforcing either of those two documents. But right now, Joe Biden would have the people who are still listening believe that equality and democracy are under assault and that MAGA Republicans are the ones to blame. Well, ever since that day, the rhetoric has been ramping up gradually every single day on the media, every single day in the mouths of politicians. Tim Ryan of Ohio is one such Democrat politician. He gave us this incredible soundbite where he said, "We gotta kill MAGA extremists." Let's go ahead and take a listen.
The Democrats aren't right on everything, and I'm willing to sit down and have conversations about how we can move out of this age of stupidity and into an age of reconciliation and reform. How do we fix all of these broken systems? Some of those answers will come from Republicans, not the extremists that we're dealing with every single day. We've got to kill and confront that movement.
So in one breath, Tim Ryan says we have to move out of this age of stupidity into an age of reconciliation. And then in the next breath, he says we have to kill the MAGA Republican movement. Well, Tim Ryan, there is absolutely no way you can do both of those things. It's time for you to accept that the MAGA Republican movement is the majority of the Republican base. And not only that, but we are the majority of the United States of America. But statements like Tim Ryan's there and the speech like Joe Biden gave at the beginning of the month don't do anything to exit us from that age of stupidity. In fact, they drive the wedge between our two sides of America even deeper. And unfortunately, that's what led to the story that I am about to introduce to you right now. In North Dakota, sadly, over the weekend, this man right here on screen admitted to not only murdering an 18-year-old boy, but murdering him because he felt he was a MAGA Republican, an extremist, he said. He did not simply kill this man in the heat of the moment. He ran him down with his vehicle in the middle of the street without having any real reason to do so other than believing that he held different political views than he did. Now, this is the young man right here I'm about to show you. This young man right here, sadly, is no longer alive. His name is Kaylor Ellingson. He called his mom in the midst of this 41-year-old man running him down with his SUV, told her once that this guy was bothering him, didn't know who he was, and asked if she knew who he was, said that he wanted her to come pick her up, and then called her again frantically, letting her know that this guy was trying to kill him with his vehicle. After that death, the man in question, Shannon Brandt, drove away from the scene of the accident, then thought better of it, called 911, and came back, but then again left before the police got there. Now, it sounds like he had imbibed alcoholic beverages prior to that, but there is absolutely no excuse in that. He can be as drunk as he wants to be, but a sane, rational individual, certainly not a Democrat, would ever think that running down somebody with your SUV is a good idea because they have different political viewpoints than you do. This is only something that could happen in modern America, Joe Biden's America, Tim Ryan's America. This is nothing that would have happened under Donald Trump's America. What happened under Donald Trump's America was the Democrats invoking the same violent rhetoric, fanning the flames of hatred, fear, and racism among their base, and sending them out to set the country on fire in the summer of 2020, the so-called summer of love. So we got the summer of love out of the Democrats, and now we have this political assassination of an 18-year-old boy. Look at this kid. He couldn't hurt a fly. Certainly, he was no match for the SUV being driven by this 41-year-old whack job. Now, the judge has decided to remand this murderer, who's been caught charged with vehicular homicide, until he can pay a $50,000 bond. Now, of course, the suspect, Shannon Brandt, objected to that $50,000 bond. He says he's not a flight risk. He also had this to say, and this really ought to drive the insanity home to you. I have a job, a life and a house and things I don't want to see go by the wayside. Family that are very important to me. Well, guess what, Brandt? Taylor Ellison, he had family that was very important to him. He tried to call his mother before you murdered him and you drove him down with your SUV. I think that this is directly the result of the comments made by Joe Biden, the comments made by the mainstream media, and the comments made by the Democratic leadership telling the base of Democrat voters, even though they're very small, they are very active and they are very violent. They want to kill us. They want to exterminate us. They want us gone from the face of planet Earth. And the FBI and the DOJ, along with the Biden White House, are trying to help them make that a reality. But in the meantime, I predict that we're going to see more deaths. I predict we're going to see more attacks based upon political persuasion. And I'm really interested to get the full story of what happened. Apparently that night, there was a dance that was being held in the street. And this man believed that Taylor Ellison was part of some right-wing Republican extremist group. He was a high school kid. He was a young man with his entire life ahead of him. And you, Shannon Brandt, murdered him in cold blood. Now, vehicular manslaughter is not enough as far as I'm concerned. Vehicular homicide, excuse me. He's looking at a minimum of 10 years in prison because he was drinking at the time. I think he ought to be charged with first degree murder because he made that decision to chase this young man down as he attempted to run away from him, to get away to safety, to get his mom on the phone and have her come pick him up. That young man is never going to grow up to have his own family, which I'm sure would have been very important to him. He's never going to be able to hug his mother again, and he's never going to be able to even vote in a Republican election, in the general election in November, because this crazed Democrat ran him over and killed him. And at the same time, they are injecting illegal voters into the system, sending illegal aliens to states all across the nation, giving them the ability to vote illegally. They are working on killing every single one of us because there's a lot more of us than there are of them. Rest in peace, Taylor Ellison. I'm so sorry to your family for your loss. And you, Shannon Brandt, I hope you rot in jail for the rest of your life. Now, some of you out there may think I'm being inflammatory, but I don't think so. I want you to really think about this. We've got the entirety of the mainstream media. We've got most Democrat politicians, and we've got plenty of celebrities all speaking out all day, every day in video, on social media, in their posts, saying pretty much the same thing, that they need to get rid of us. They need to kill us off. They need to destroy our movement. They would throw us in prison. They would throw us in the gulag. They would end our lives simply because they don't agree with what we believe. We believe in this nation. We believe in what America was founded upon. We believe in our faith and we believe in our future. And there's no way that those two things can exist. The violent world that the Democrats are pushing and the future of America, they are totally mutually exclusive. They cannot exist in the same place. So something has to change. The media needs to be held accountable. The politicians need to be held accountable. And the celebrities that are echoing their refrains need to be held accountable as well. You're never going to hear people on our side calling for violence, calling for riots in the street. We don't want that. We want a peaceful resolution. We want America to thrive, and we want every single person to have the right to thrive, to have the right to live, no matter what they believe, no matter what God they worship, no matter who they are inside. Every single one of them is a human being, and none of them deserve what happened to Taylor Ellison. I want to thank everyone for joining me. As always, this has been Red Pill 78. My name is Zach Payne, the Corruption Detector, and this was another edition of Red Pill News. Good luck, everyone, and God bless.